Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Burning Hearts. And thanks for joining us again on our last day of this interview with Father Josh Fons from the Good News Cruise on Ephesians chapter 2.
This is one of my favorite verses because Paul, he kind of paints the picture. You know, he's like, there's this world out there, the prince of darkness, the power of disobedience at work. You once lived in your passions, following the desires of your body, all this kind of stuff. And these are my favorite two words in all of scripture. All of this stuff. You lived under this power. You were dead in your sins. But God, this is the kicker.
Boom. Right?
But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, has done all this for us. Just talk about just what that brings up in your heart a little bit, that verse. Yeah.
I mean, you just see, it's like the Lord of the Rings movies that came out when we were kids.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in the Lord of the Rings, the Battle of Helm's Deep, where everything is so dark. It looks like the powers of darkness have won. They're being overwhelmed. And then dawn breaks over the top of the hill, and you see the armies of Rohan coming to the aid and charging down the hill. And up until that point, it looked like everything was dark, but then God breaks in. God comes to the rescue. God comes to save us. The people lost in darkness, the people in darkness have now seen a great light, and upon them a light has shone.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, but God, that he can come in and change everything.
Yeah.
That's what the whole history of everything in here, but also that's one of the beautiful things about hearing people's testimonies too.
Yeah.
It's like everything looked so dark, but God has the last word on it is ultimately the thing that God has the last word. He's the one who actually can bring light even into the darkest places.
So true. And this is that thing, even into the darkest places of, when I read this, I just am brought to mind of the true reality of hope, that it's not, like, something wouldn't be hopeful if a situation that wasn't that bad got better. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, yeah, like it was pretty bad, you know, but it got
mm-hmm.
better. But the reality of hope and the reality of what Christ does and of the Christian story is it's the only story, it's the only reality, it's the only narrative in which God goes to the farthest place for us. And this is truly the reality of hope, of why we hold on to hope. I remember I was talking about this with some of the girls that I was discipling over the summer, and where Josh and I are from, we had a tragedy this summer. A young man in our community who was 18 years old, he passed away. He drowned in Lake Michigan, and his brother was actually at Josh's parish as a deacon. And while it was so tragic, it was such a time filled with hope because of just the family's response.
Yeah.
The deacon at Josh's parish, who was his brother, preached the homily. And, you know, he has his brother there, his 18-year-old brother is there in front of him in the casket. And he's standing behind him preaching, death does not have the final word.
Amen.
You know, and I was talking with his sister and some other girls just about the reality that hope is not hope if it doesn't go to the lowest place.
Mm.
How it was like, she's like, here I am in the darkest place. Like, we could not imagine for our family a darker place to be. There's no lower place. And Jesus says, this is the reality, actually, of what I've done. I don't just come to have a life enhancer. It's not like, you know, like the apostles don't go and they're not preaching like, hey, I have something that could help you. You know,
yeah,
like if we were
really
preaching,
good.
That's more modern day preaching. You know,
yeah.
Hey, guys, just listen. If they could have a minute of your time, you know, and just listen. They're like, no, this man, Jesus, he was dead. He was dead, and now he's alive, and he's been seated at the right hand of the Father. And now this life, you're going to be dead, but with this new life, he goes to the lowest place. And I believe in that darkness that we're talking about, that right now, we look at the darkness of the culture, and the world needs those of us who are sitting in this room to actually have those renewed minds, to have that attitude, to go out and say, no, we have this hope. We have this hope that lives in us because Christ, but God. Yeah, all this crazy stuff is happening in the world, but God. But God, who has come into my life, who has come into this reality, who is rich in mercy out of the great love. This is a great verse to memorize. I love this verse. Ever since I was young, I memorized this verse. God who is rich, because this is the gospel in one verse. If you're in an elevator with someone, who's the gospel? But God. Who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us while we were dead in our trespasses, Christ has come for us. And so just that reality of even today, of even thinking, like, Father Josh, like, what's a practical way, even today as we're walking around, or a prayer we can pray to the Lord of saying, Lord, make this reality real to me. That I was dead in my trespasses, and you, he came for you. He came to get you. And I think, like, we were talking about at the beginning, sometimes that, like, kind of gets old. You know, of like, we're like, yeah, Jesus died for me. You know, we go to Easter and we have like our cute dresses and we're like, woo! Like, yay. Jesus rose from the dead. It's like, he rose from the dead. It's why we're on this cruise ship. He was dead. He was really dead.
Yeah.
And so even just like maybe speaking to how today, like I'm just even just in this one day, not even thinking about tomorrow, in this one day as we go about the rest of our day, how can we live in this reality?
Yeah, I think you spoke into that well of that, like you shared from that experience of the summer, of seeing that witness of that, yeah, God can come even to the lowest places and wants to invite us then into those heavenly places. Mm. In terms of how to live that today, how do we do that? Well, we're here in Cozumel, so you know, get out there on the beach and tell people about Jesus. But I experienced that over and over again. When you encounter someone who has this renewed mind, when you encounter someone who actually has this renewed vision for life, it's inspiring. It's powerful. I mean, it's refreshing because you realize they're not just focused on this world. They're not just focused and thinking about the same things everyone else are thinking about. They actually are thinking about how does God want to enter into this? How is God entering into this? That's for myself. Yeah, I need to have my mind continually renewed because once again, it's a battle. It's a struggle. You know, the world tries to get in there and continue to lure us back into whatever it may be, into this place of darkness. Mm-hmm. But the light has come, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So yeah, very inspired by your words. I just think you certainly have that conviction of that. So how do we do that today? One, I think, is just that practical way of, okay, am I putting God first today? Even on the day where it's maybe go out in Cozumel, you know, enjoy the beach, but am I enjoying this with the Lord? Am I realizing this is a gift from God that I am here? This is a gift from God that I've been given all these things here with these people on this beautiful cruise, this opportunity to truly encounter the Lord in new ways. Yeah, am I bringing that perspective into everything that I do, not just maybe the churchy things or the spiritual things, but am I allowing the Lord to walk with me? Just as he walked on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, you know, him walking with you on the shores of Cozumel, you know?
That's beautiful, and I love that because I think sometimes we overcomplicate things, you know, and just the simplicity, I think, of inviting the Lord in, and I've just been experiencing just myself, even just on this boat, and the practicality of that, you know, I'm here, I have friends here, you know, friends that I met, but I'm here by myself, you know, I'm just kind of walking around. There's plenty of days where I do my responsibilities, and I'm just kind of walking around, and I'm like, Lord, like, I'm alone. He's like, what about me? You know, just like, and it sounds lame, but just like very practically of like, he was like, okay, like ask me, like, what do I want to do? You know, like ask me, like, what should, you're here with me. Like, what do you want to do this at? Jesus, what do you want to do this afternoon? You know, or like, who do you want me to talk to? And I was just kind of walking around and the Lord was like, I was like, should I try to make plans with people? And he was like, just go walk around the ship. And I ended up randomly running into a priest that I met earlier this week, Father Frankie. And we just, by the elevators, ended up having like an hour and a half conversation where we're both like crying and like sharing our hearts. And the Holy Spirit just came. And the Lord, after it was like, see how I provide for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, see,
amen.
Because it was just that practicality of being like, Lord, like, I'm on this ship with you. We're on this ship with you. We're doing this with you. And we just have a few minutes, but I want to end with this verse here because we're talking about being, that Christ is raised from the dead. And I want to end with this verse. Even when we are dead, there are trespasses. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I just want to touch on that for a second because that's all present tense. It's all past and present tense. It's not future. There's a way that in the future we will be obviously in the kingdom of God in heaven. But Paul is pointing to, in a very particular way, what we have access to now. And this reality of Christ has been made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But he's saying, you have been made alive with him. And Christ, where is Jesus now? He's seated where?
In the heavenly places.
In the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And Paul is, we kind of glaze over this. Paul is saying, you are seated with him. So even like as right now, you're seated on this cruise ship. We're seated up here. But there's a spiritual reality that, yes, we will be united in the most ultimate way at the end of time with Jesus in heaven. But he's also saying you have been raised with Christ and you are right now seated with Christ in heavenly places. What does that stir? Just speak to that. What does that stir up to you? What thoughts are coming to mind?
Yeah, just this, once again, the sense of, you know, what realities do I see as, you know, most real or most present? Yeah, that we are seated in heavenly places, that we have access to the Father. Sometimes, in my experience as a priest so far, I so often run into people who are good Catholics, really striving hard to kind of follow the commandments, show up to church, kind of do all the right things, but yet they feel like God is so distant. They feel like in their prayer, they're like calling out to God who's way up there, way over there, who they have to somehow maybe be good enough for him to listen to them. They feel like they have to earn God's attention. They have to earn their Father's heart. The reality is we don't. We already have access to the Father. We're already there with him. He is so close to us and wants to speak to us, wants to be with us, wants us to know his presence and his love, wants us to know his delight in us as his sons and daughters. But so often we think we have to somehow go up and get that or earn that or find that. In the reality, the Lord has already won it for us. He's already made us alive in that. We're already seated with him in the heavenly places, yet we're acting like we have to go somewhere else to get it. Mm-hmm. In reality, he is with us. That is the deepest reality of who we are in him and what we have access to as his beloved sons and beloved daughters.
Yeah, it's so amazing because that it's really every day that we've been going through Ephesians, the one chapter we've gotten through so far. It's amazing the Holy Spirit, because we began and we prayed and we said, Holy Spirit, lead us. Father Josh and I, we didn't prep at all.
We didn't talk together.
You know, we read the scriptures and we prayed separately. But we didn't say, like, this is what we're going to talk about. This is where we're going to go. We prayed for the Holy Spirit to come, and the Holy Spirit just guided us through the conversation. And we've been ending up every day in this reality of identity, and just that so much of the spiritual life is coming back to this place of resting. And I was talking about this little book on Ephesians that I have read a couple times now. It's about this, and you can get it on Amazon. It's called Sit, Walk, Stand, and it's by a Chinese martyr named Watchman Nee, who wrote it from prison, actually. And he which is ironic, because Paul wrote this from prison. And he talks about the three fundamental postures of Ephesians. And I think this is a good place to end, because he's saying the first posture is sitting, being seated with Christ.
Wow.
And the first posture, and we often think the first posture for us is doing. You know, we're like, okay, Christ come, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And he's like, no, the first posture is being seated with me and living from this place of being seated in heavenly places. And so I believe that the Lord's inviting us to that reality today, saying, is that what's most real to me? That I am, the reality of who I am is I'm seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And so, Father Josh, will you just give us a very brief blessing? Because I'm getting...
Amen. I'm seeing the wrap it up signal here. So
just bless us, yeah.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you who have made us alive, pour out your Spirit upon these, your sons and daughters. We may know, be convicted of that we are seated with you in heavenly places. We have access to our Father's heart. We've been called into newness of life. Lord, help us to walk this day and every day in that abundant life with all of the saints and the joys of heaven. And so through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
That wraps up our interviews with Father Josh Fons from the Good News Cruise. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in this week in the Book of Ephesians.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.